Bruchim Abayim to the third lecture, the third shiur in the continuing shiurim on the hashkafa, the philosophy of the Leshem. We're up to, we're in Shara Aleph, we're up to Perak Zayin. If we haven't read every word, just take a look at the Leshem, you will understand. Now, the Perak Zayin appears on page 12. And it's on the second column. It's a new paragraph, the fifth line. Okay. Says the Leshem. Writes the Leshem. Hinei sibas hadava masha'or kudishosu yizbor shemoy hu nela milahasig boi ma'uma. The reason that God's lights and God's revelations are hidden and one cannot understand them, this was the subject of the previous shiur. Gam achshen is gala b'chol giluyev and this column. Even after it's been revealed in all of the it's revelations. Hineu b'siba masha manol elba perak beis kinestantem atzmusis baruch shemoy Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's for the reason, as we explained, that Kadosh Baruch Hu has contracted himself. Umistayim b'seif atzilos. Kadosh Baruch Hu contracts himself, and somehow this contraction, in a certain sense, reaches until atzilos. That was in a certain sense, Kadosh Baruch Hu was to be found in atzilos. V'chol mash mispashed bo'ele kushasi lamata. Any spirituality that goes below Atzilus into the Olam HaPirud, into the worlds of where God is not at one with the creation. Hurak Aidei Masachim Levushim is through screens and through garments. Hurak told us the or. It's only derived from the light. It's not the actual light itself. V'tamtzis Ha'or Levat. Right? There's only like a small amount of light. Kunuska Lava Parag Beis. V'eis Ha'tamtzis Ha'or Ahu Oimed B'pnimiyas Kol Ha'ilamais Bia bepchinas neshama neshama. And of course, this light, right, is in fact actually in the inner worlds. In other words, basically what the Leshem is saying is that we shouldn't think of the worlds necessarily as being sort of like one-dimensional, like a totem pole, but rather think of them as being three-dimensional. So what's panimi, what's interior, is the most spiritual part, and the worlds that are, in a certain sense, considered to be lower, are really sort of like exterior, more exterior, and on the, let's say, circumference or the periphery. So that's what he says, right? So in other words, there is a or, there is a light which dwells interior to the worlds of B'yitz Yassiyah. It's not just a light sort of like, in other words, we're not speaking about a totem pole, which is vertical or horizontal, but rather it's three-dimensional. There's interior and exterior. In other words, this light, which is interior to the physical worlds, the worlds of where there is an aspect of physicality, where God is not in one, this is called Mekomei Shel Olam. Okay? Now, it's very interesting over here that those of people who are listening, who have studied the Nefesh HaChayim, well, perhaps be a little bit shocked that the Leshem here is certainly taking issue with the Nefesh HaChayim. This is a subject, Mirtz Hashem, that we're going to discuss in greater detail. The Nefesh HaChayim devotes a very long discussion of what's called Mekomei Shel Olam in Shara Gimel. And the question is, what's called Mekomei Shel Olam? So, in other words, the Nefesh HaChayim wants to say that Mekomei Shel Olam, that we say Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mekomei Shel Olam, what it means is that from God's standpoint, everything is God. That's Mekomei Shel Olam. In other words, from the God point of view, the world is God's place because there's nothing but God. It's just that that's not something we conceptualize, that's something we can understand. But rather, right, we have to know what's in terms of the world, which God has created mitzidenu, the world that we, you know, that we operate in, the world that we're allowed to reflect upon, the world of mitzvahs, then certainly, you know, there's a gap between man, there's a hierarchy of worlds, etc., etc. Now, the fact is that this concept of Mekomei Shel Olam leads, of course, the of Chaim V'Lashana to understand the Tzimtzum, really, in terms of the like Kepshutai. That's what Chaim V'Lashana says explicitly, that the word Tzimtzum does not really mean Siluk, does not mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu was leaving the world, but rather means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is being hidden. It's Lashon of Hester. So in other words, somehow before the Tzimtzum, there was nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And after the Tzimtzum, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was hidden. But Chas V'Shalom says Reb Chaim Volozh. Tzimtzum means contract, but to be no, literally meaning English translation of Tzimtzum is to contract. But Reb Chaim Volozh says, don't think that Tzimtzum means literally lahatek, to go from place to place, because Chas V'Shalom, how are you saying that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is leaving the world? This is a place of the world without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But rather, a kind of lashon means that Tzimtzum is a lashon of Hester, because Baruch Hu is hiding himself. And that's basically the concept of what's called Tzimtzum d'loy kipyuta. We're not learning the Tzimtzum literally. We're in fact actually the Tzimtzum non-literally. It's not that God actually contracted himself, God hides himself. However, as we will see in Mitzvah Shem, the lashon is in fact very, very much against this. In fact, actually, we already saw in the Kedusha Miburim, the lashon says everything should be understood what? Kipshutai, and even the Tzimtzum. He spoke about Kedushim Be'ulim. The Leshem learns the Tzimtzum Kipshutai, and so does the Goyin. If you don't believe me, look at the Asar Mabarim of the Goyin. I actually gave classes on that, and the Goyin says Tzimtzum comes from the Leshem, right? Vayatek. And Kadosh Baruch Hu actually leaves. So Chaim Volozh is adding something in total contradistinction to that of his Rebbe the Goyin. So in other words, what in fact actually the Leshem is saying over here is in fact what's called Mekayim Shalaylam. Atzilus is Mekayim Shalaylam. Because Eva Gameo Chad Bahai, God is the one with his creation. In other words, in Atzilus, you could say that the creation is one with God. And that's called Mekayim Shalaylam. But you can't say that in Bria Yitzir Asiya, where there's a period where God's not one with his creation, you can't say that's Mekayim Shalaylam. Not from any perspective. Now, the purpose here of the Leshem is not to be directly argue on the Nefesh HaChayim that he does in other places, we discussed this, but nonetheless, he's setting the matter straight. Mekayim Shalaylam is an Atzilus, and this Or, which is Pinimi, which is interior to the world, that, you know, act as you would call boundaries of the spiritual worlds. Of course, from this, from Atzilus, is directing the worlds and is, of course, is affecting the worlds. For basically, there's a penimus of the world that, in fact, actually, that's called the Mekayim Shalaylam. The worlds outside of it are not called that. So even not only is the first Giluyim hidden from us, even this Ha'or itself is opaque, cannot be understood. In other words, they're asking, I am a Kem Kavoda. We don't understand. They don't understand. How can we understand? Wherever he is, no one knows his Mokoy. No one understands his Mokoy. Ondom, Ma Shiesh Lo Gilim Yibendi Atzimai Gabkein, writes on the Mazulas Pulosov, Gufa. Now, what we have over here is an incredible thing. Is that there's two types of Giluyim. We spoke about the Gilulim of the names of God. Right? In addition to this, there's actually Giluyim, revelations of God, right, that come as a result of God's actions, even in the physical world. Because we see in the physical world that God desires that the world should continue. We see that God desires that there should be a world of order, a world with natural law. For inyan the parak shiga sheifligo b'shebach ha'omer v'zboinim ba mishum sharei kol is havusam kiyum hurak v'son is pashit ataklis asiyah. In other words, we look at the wonders of nature, and we see clearly that the rotzin, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that the world should persist, the world should exist. V'achrei shekol oisin ha'metzias asim in eruv v'kakulam em avim v'chumriyam b'taklis ha'chumri. So he says, you should look at Pirkei Shira and say, "Kibazem Megala Pnei Halot VaMasecha Nusucha Al Kol Amatzias Kulam." In Pirkei Shira, you see that the different parts of the Bria are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because even the physical creation, which is not called Mekayim Shalaylam, nonetheless reveals or expresses God's Ratzon that the world should persist. Now, The fact is, we see over here, the second type of Giloy is the Ratzon Hashem. So he says, Kiloy nase Giluya behem, ela rak le mizboinen shem kulam birotzoinoi. V'tluyem, rak alav, hu ayidei apsukim, the perak shira, once again, because Baruch Hu is not a, in other words, what is his revelation? In other words, in Atzilus, you have the names of God, different things, you can see that things reveal themselves, a person has to really think about them. But in the physical world, a person has to reflect upon the physical world. And once he reflects upon the physical world, right, then a person can realize the physical world expresses a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. And that's, he's speaking about reading Perek Shira. The Perek Shira, right, causes us or inspires us to reflect upon the wonders of the world and see how the world reflects a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon.
He understands Perek Shira is authentic.
Right, yeah, yeah. Now, very, very interesting is that actually we see in the Leshem shades of the Rambam. The Rambam says clearly that how does a person come to Avas Hashem? The Rambam says both in Yesed Yatera and also at the end of Hilchos Tshuva that a person is supposed to reflect on the wisdom of the world. So we see here too that the Leshem is coming to tell us another thing too, that through reflecting in the world we come to appreciate and become aware of the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, now. Hare lanu ki b'mashin es gala eleinu b'pulaysa, f'hine yesh lanu gilin b'l'tsoyne atzmai. V'u b'oysa ha'rotza l'sherotza b'hem, v'am izboyne b'za hare hu dovek b'l'tsoyne. Okay, now we come to a very big chiddush. In other words, now we come to a central theme of the Lashon. Up till now, he's building up to this, he speaks about it, about reflecting upon nature. But now when it comes to the central theme, which has to be the central point here of this lecture. The Leshem says something very interesting. Leshem says that if a person reflects upon the acts of God, then revealed to this person is God's Ratzon, his will. And says the Leshem, Yesh tanu gila b'ratzoni atzvoi, this is God's will itself. V'ba'oisi ha'ratzon asher ratzon b'hem, this is the will. Right, this is the will that God desired when he created the world. And a person reflects upon this, becomes one. He's connected with God's Ratzon. The world is filled with your acquisitions. A person is supposed to reflect upon God's Ratzon in respect to the physical world. In other words, Omnom hine ika gilig atzoinoi asher nisgala lo liboi hine kol ha'teva mitzvah. In other words, even though a person can look at the physical world and see God's Ratzon as well, and by doing this, he becomes connected with God's will. We're going to see actually the Leshem has to go even further and say he becomes in one with God's will. But he says, really, the ika gilig of God's Ratzon, the ika revelation of God's will, right, is teva mitzvahs. That's what God commanded us. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. For and all of man's service is avoida. It's a service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So man, when he serves God, it should be lishmoy, for the sake of serving him. I'm now on page 13. Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, of four Amudim. This galalo betzoyne vu giluy of eleinu asher bimenu atzmai batzbuso guf azulis giluy of vuloy sav asher bechalis avos betzias dechol hamoyz bia sheim kul bebchidas chutz imenu sheim kulam enam elokus klal. In other words, the physical world is not at one with God. That's not called elokus. Elokus means being at one with God. Atzilus is elokus. Aval giluy betzoyne shes galal edo boy, right? But the will that God reveals through Torah and mitzvahs. That's a giloy that's in one with God. In other words, in the giloy, the revelation of Torah and mitzvahs, the Torah obviously begins in Atzilus, and mitzvahs too have their ikos shoresh in Atzilus. That's where names of God are. That's where, and the whole Torah, names of God. So the names of God which are in Atzilus. So there, God is at one with his will. In other words, if I look at the physical world, I see the will of God. But the will of God is something which is expressed through something which is distant from God, separate from God. But here, the will of God expressed through the Torah, is at one with God. It's a gilui from his elokus. God is at one with his will. What is the consequence of this? Because here we see the incredible, right, activity, the magnitude of learning Torah, that we're required. Kinoida, this is the important four lines here, right? This is on Daf Zayin. Let me repeat it again. This is eight lines down. Kinoida who? Shaseichel v'amaskel v'amuskel, the knower, but intellect, hamaskel is the knower, or the intellector. V'amuskel, that which is intellected. Echadu is one. Ukishamaskel, v'yadeya ezadova, may I tell you, a person knows something from the Torah. In other words, the person is the knower. The Torah is the object of knowledge, the object of the intellect. So a person becomes one with God's Rotzon, one with his will. He's Baruch Shemoy, Mamish. How many times does the Leshem say Mamish? You become literally one with God. Now let's give a little bit of background to this. What does this really mean? First of all, a little background is, what does this mean to say Haseichel v'maskel v'amuskel echad? Most of you will actually know this in terms of Yediya. And this is from Parakei in Hilchos Tshuva, right? The Rambam comes to answer the famous contradiction, the stira, between Bechira and Yediya, free will and knowledge. So the Rambam says basically that we can't speak about God knows something in the way that a human being knows something. Because with God, the knower, the known, and the act of knowledge are one. The fact is, though, that's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva. But if you look in the Meir and Levuchim, the Rambam says a little bit differently. The Rambam says in chapter 68 of section 1, and I believe actually we actually devoted time to this in Negative Theology, that the Rambam actually quotes there the philosophers who say that, in fact, not only with God, but also with a man, with a human being, if a human being thinks about something, apprehends something, intellectualizes something, then the knower or the intellectualizer, the object of the intellect and the act of intellectualization are one, become one. So in fact, what divides man from God? The answer is very simple, is that when man is actually thinking, he thinks in the same way that God does. What divides man from God is that God is always actively thinking, where the man sometimes is actively thinking, something's not actively thinking. That's what the Rambam says. Now, what's interesting is, the Rambam says this in the beginning with respect to the seichel, the intellect. What the Leshem has done is that even though he speaks about knowing the Torah is something that we, that we intellectualize, like some of us do. Nonetheless, the Leshem says is that we become dovek with God's will, his ratzon. In other words, in terms of the Leshem, right? In other words, the Rambam would say that, the Rambam does say in chapter 68, that God's chachma is his essence, his yediyah is his essence. And actually, in chapter 69, he also says his ratzon is his essence too. But in other words, certainly, in other words, what?
I am forthcoming Rishima, right.
However, right, the fact is that, and of course, there's a major contradiction in the theology. We speak about it there, et cetera, coming attractions. But the fact is that what is interesting, what does the Leshem do? He's taking the idea of the Rambam, who speaks about intellectualizing. In fact, he even speaks about the maskil, the seichel. But what do I become one with? I don't become one with God's intellect. I become one with God's ratzon, with his will. I don't become one with his intellect. Now, why is that true? I'll tell you why that's true, for a simple reason. Because if I became one with God's intellect, then there would be a major contradiction in the Leshem. I would have to devote an entire shiur to create some type of a synthetic resolution. Namely, the Leshem has already told me, and we discussed this in detail in the last class, that the objects of Atzilus cannot be understood. I can't fathom them. In other words, the only thing I could know is to be aware of them, and when I study them and I fathom them, I become one with God's Ratzon, with His will. For the Lashem, the highest level that a person can achieve is to unite with God's will. If the Rambam would appear, Tzelem Elokim is actually man's wisdom. In the Lashem, the highest level is God's will. And in fact, actually, the Lashem says this explicitly. I'm not going to actually quote a few here. The Lashem says explicitly in the Chiddush Biurim that the first Tzimtzum is in Ratzon. That's what the Goyin says in the Sefer Klolim. That the Tzimtzum first takes place in God's Ratzon. Because the highest level that a person can aspire to is to be conscious aware of God's Ratzon. By the way, the Ramchal says like this too. Interestingly enough. So, what happens is when I'm davuk, when I connect intellectually with the Torah, I unite with God's will. Now, the fact is that the Lashem is not the first person in Jewish history to say this. In fact, he has a very, very famous precursor, and that, in fact, actually is a Nefesh HaChayim. Here they both agree. In Torah they agree. In Pshat Dalet, it's now we're holding in the weeks before the Sfira when the yeshivas learn Shal Dalet. Of course, they only learn the first two prokem, where he basically gives Musa that he doesn't find enough people who know Torah. Torah Chagrisak. And he attacks those people who learn Devekas, and after that they stop. But actually, and they look at it and say, for Musa, but in fact, actually, in Shal Dalet, in Parag Vav, Shal Dalet of Shachayim, in the big brown edition, which is Daf Resh Tezayin, from Yisachar Dov, Ruben Bnei Vak Tov Shememtes. There, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, "Lazoisa Emesh Azu Ederach Amiti." This is the true way. Hashem Boza Bochu Ois Boch Shemai, etc., etc. V'yachav Nizdabe Bilumudi Boi Matera. He should have intention to connect with his learning, which is the Torah. Boi Bechalichu with the Kodesh Bochu. Hainu Nizdabe Bechok Hachos Levar Hashem Zuolacha. Right, that's obviously God's Russian. Ovezel Dovak Bizbach Mamish Kiviyachol. He's connected with God. He's Baruch Ratzon Echad. God and His Ratzon are one. Now, of course, what do you mean God's Ratzon is one? I mean, Melef should have said like that, but that's God's, and of course, that's as He reveals Himself. In other words, God as He relates to the world is one. I assume Chaim Volozhiner says it's all the same way. V'chol din v'alach b'tar k'daysha Ratzon is Baruch. Every din in the Holy Torah is the Ratzon of Baruch. Shekein goes a good son of Shei Kachadin. God's Baruch's will with the din should be like this. Kosher, apostle, etc., etc. By the way, Del Haga, those of you who think we have to be learning halacha, so he says, Begamu Isaac B'divri Agadata. Also, so there's no daf kamina. Here's the raya that actually when a person connects with Agadata too, he becomes one with God's Ratzon. Well, he says he doesn't be Diburai. Right? Okay? Because the entire Torah comes. Okay, so in other words, basically here, I become dovuk with a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon.
That's because Lefi D'Nefesh HaChayim, the Torah itself is divorced from that applying world. So
right, Echanami, right. The Torah is actually before the world, right.
Doesn't that have a feeling halacha or agadah?
Right, Echanami, right. Every Torah, right. But in other words, the fact is that we say the Nefesh HaChayim says the same thing. When I learn Torah, I become dovuk, but he says I become dovuk. He said I become one. I'm z'achet. With God, with Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon mamish. He says, "Kuzoyche dias kol atera kulu rabach v'shasa binyan metzias shel kol adam mekayim oisay so gam begufi mamish reinase kulu begufi v'nafsho dovak misachet." Even when I do mitzvahs, my guf also unites with God's Ratzon. V'chein nema tamad veikim, etc., etc. Now, the fact is, we have here an important thing because the fact that shnei neviim is nabim and the Rebbe Sigdon Echad, right? Nefesh HaChayim v'chayim v'lojana, right? What? In other words, what is it that I become dovuk or in what, according to mamish and one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will? In other words, in Chassidus, for example, is a notion of devekus, but devekus is not limited to God's will. I become dovuk with physical things too. It's clear the Balatanya when I do a mitzvah, the object of the mitzvah, I become one with the object of the mitzvah. I become dovek the ein sof, which is in the physical mitzvah. Obviously here, I'm becoming one with God's will, but what is the significance? Why do I have to become at one with God's will? What's the importance? Why can I stay separate from God's will? Why, in other words, what is the significance of the fact that I'm becoming one with God's will? Now, in the case of Chaim Volozhiner, it was very, very important that I become one with God's will. And of course, as we all know, the Torah of Chaim Volozhiner is kadum, it's prior to all the worlds. This is important. Why is this important? First of all, if the Torah is located somewhere on a totem pole with their world higher than the Torah, then the fact is that you end up with changing laws of the Torah if they don't fit the worlds which are higher from it. In other words, the Chaim Volozhiner is very significant that the Torah actually be prior to all the worlds. And the fact is, that's number one. And number two, even more so, right, the powers of man, as Chaim Volozhiner expresses so beautifully, brings the Gemara in Vavam Beis in Gittin, that two Amoraim were learning a drash v'lesh begiva, and they ran, one of them went to Eliyahu HaNavi, this is the same paragraph of Vav, and they said to Eliyahu HaNavi, what is Kodesh Baruch doing now? Eliyahu HaNavi says, he's repeating over the different drash, the different Amoraim, as if man, and that's really, in fact, Kutcha Brichu V'Yaraisa V'Yisrael Chadu. That means he's not before, it's not before. He's not before. In other words, that when a Jew learns like a Kodesh Baruch Hu's learning Torah. And that was also significant. Why was it also significant? Because if I say, in other words, it was significant in Chaim Volozhiner, why is it important that when man Kiviyachu learns Torah and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, repeats it after him? Because the point is that if in fact, right, in other words, if in fact I would claim that, in other words, if I would claim that the Torah, as we see necessarily, the Torah has to be located before all the spiritual worlds. If the Torah is located lower than the spiritual worlds, we could change the Torah, like the Hasidim were doing. Based upon what they saw in the Olamas, they changed the laws of the Torah. So the Torah has to be located before the spiritual worlds. But why does man have to be dovek in God's will? That's easy. Because if the Torah is before the spiritual worlds, and man cannot learn it on that level, then we don't understand the Torah. In other words, if in fact the Torah is located pre all of the worlds, but man cannot empower from that standpoint, then the Torah is something hidden from us. It must be that the koyach of halacha, to adjudicate halacha based upon his intellect, has to place man's intellectual ability or man's intellectual conceptual framework in the same place where the Torah is, which is before all the worlds. So in other words, the Chaim Volozhiner's shita's philosophy of Torah Lishma, which by the way, in my opinion, is not based on any Gemara, even on something based on Alaf and Dara, which is another Shia, but was necessary in order to protect the integrity of the halachic process. Just like his shita, his opinion of Tzimtzum, was important to protect the terminologic process, because if I say that everything is God, then in fact people will make brachas in the bathroom, people will not say this to an Isser and Hatter, which was a danger he saw perhaps in Hasidim. By the way, he didn't call it minus. He just felt it would overturn, it would upset the halachic process, the distinction between what's permitted and what's not permitted. So similarly, to preserve the halachic process from an intellectual point of view, from understanding it from the Torah, it's important that the Torah occupy a space before all the spiritual worlds. If the Torah is located, like I think the Balatanya says, in the Gavul, the boundary between Atzilus and what? And Bria. So, because of that, the person will in fact discover something in Atzilus and change halachas in the Torah based upon Atzilus. So, the Torah, by definition, in order that it should be Kayim La'ad after Matan Torah, like Chaim Volozhiner says, if we don't go back to the stage of the Avos, where they would change locus of the Torah, like Yankel Vina married two sisters, because the Tikkun Yonimus was like that. So that's it, that the Torah occupy a place before all the worlds. However, the Torah is only what man studies, what man understands from the Torah. So man's understanding also has to be before all the worlds. Well, who's before all the worlds? God. Therefore, God, Torah, and man are one. That's the easy equation. Now, the fact is that the Lashem here, the Lashem here, in these lines, is espousing the same type of philosophy, the same type of understanding.
In the Nefesh HaChaim's, the way Nefesh HaChaim sets it up, the fact that there's no Makar is problematic.
Very problematic. Because not only that, there's Makar is...
I mean, it's inconsistent. Because man empirically he apprehends certain things. He apprehends things both in the created physical world and also in the Torah.
Right.
Now, it's in the interest of the Nefesh HaChaim to exclude his empirical knowledge that he collects from the created world and to include the knowledge that he collects from the Torah.
That's very important.
It is very important, but it seems inconsistent.
No.
On one hand, you're saying...
First, you made a very important statement. I want to elaborate on that. Most people understand the Chai V'Loshen and Sefer as basically an attack on Hasidim. But I understand the Chai V'Loshen, I know consciously or unconsciously, I'm not going to look for scholarly evidence for this, which actually protected the Torah from the Haskalah. The Haskalah came along, especially in the end of the 19th century, and said, Chazal makes statements that are not true anymore. Chazal makes statements that are not true. Chazal makes statements, they draw conclusions, they make generalities, they're not true. So if I believe that the Torah is only reveals what's in the world, so therefore what's in the world is somehow prior to the Torah, so they're right, the Torah is false. But if I believe the Torah is prior to the world, so what happens in the world is irrelevant. That's the Brisker perspective we've spoken about. In other words, the Torah dictates how I look at the world. The Torah does not reflect what's going on in the world. The Torah is prior to the world. Now, what you're claiming is, well, if that's true, the Torah should line up with the world, right? No.
I'm saying that, like the Rambam says, that Dvar Hashem is evident both in the Torah and in the created world.
No, so I would claim that at the time of the Rambam, there are very, very few actual contradictions with what the Torah says of the world.
No, but I mean it makes sense. Whether it's productive or productive.
It makes sense, but the fact is that it's. I mean, look. The fact is that it's not true. The fact is that the Torah makes many statements that, you could always, be one of these apologists who find some way of, twisting some experimental result in a half a beat of some science and say, oh, that's the truth. But the fact is, there are many statements in the Torah, countless statements, which a person, would empirically ask the scientist. Of course, we're not Hasidim. We don't believe the world's an illusion. The world is real. So this is Lashon. So in other words, how do I resolve that with the Torah? The answer is, if the Torah is prior to the worlds, so the Torah is not coming to reflect what's in the world. The Torah is prior to the world. That's really what's going on. In other words, I don't look at the Torah as reflecting what's going on in the world. By the way, Derech Agav, this was the dispute between, the Alter of Slobodka, right, to understand that the Torah is really meeting the psychology of the world. He says this in the Ohad Sofon in Parshas Toldos. And because of that, creates an entire philosophy of Negiah. And in fact, actually learns it from Shaychad. We see that the Torah is revealing a psychology of man. It says the Chazon Ish Amar Beitachon, Chas V'Shalom, God forbid. First of all, what you're saying contradicts the entire halacha. In Shaychad it says it's going to blind people. So says the Chazon Ish, and I'm trying to interpret the Chazon Ish the way I understand the depth of the Chazon Ish is saying is that when a Kosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah and saw that when you take Shaychad, it would blind people, so when you take it, only when you take Shaykhah, it blinds people. In other words, the Torah dictates the halachic reality. But in my opinion, as opposed to saying that Nigiya, right, it's putting the Torah is reflecting a psychology of a person that always has Nigiyas, okay?
Even if the Torah is dictating the
halachic reality.
But if the world is created based on the halachic reality, then...
No.
It's not the
Torah is prior to reality.
Yeah, but he also says that the created world is supposed to reflect the halachic
reality. I think no. I think what he means by that is that basically, I understand istaka b'raisa bar alma means, is that, because if that's true, then I should look at the reality and see it in the Torah. I understand that what he means, talking about Reis Baal means, see the Torah is prior to reality, right? I shouldn't look at the Torah as, in other words, something prior to reality, I shouldn't look reality as a confirmation, which is in the Torah. But basically, when I look at reality halachically, I impose the halachic reality on the world, whether empirically I might decide it's true or not true. That's how I understand that Shachaim speaking.
It's a din.
Yeah. And in fact, what's interesting is, what I claim is that the whole sheet of Chaim Soloveitchik, a brisk is actually a consequence of Reb Chaim Volozhin. In other words, Volozhin is speaking theologically. Chaim Briske is speaking in halacha. But really, the concept of brisk, like that, for example, I create abstract halacha categories by which to look at the world, but they have nothing to do really with reality.
You see a ocean, you think about
Mem Kaf. Right. I claim that the halachic methodology of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, no doubt, was actually a consequence of the Chaim Volozhin's ontology. I have an essay on this in the forthcoming lectures of Rabbi Soloveitchik on Genesis. But in any case, let's go back to the Leshen. Okay? In any case, so the Leshen here, right, is saying that, once again before, in other words, man, in order, right, I want to say to save the world from Hasidim, but in order that the Torah dictate Ratzon more than any, Kabbalistic revelation, it's necessary the Torah be located before any reality. The first Giloy, the first revelation has to be the names of God which define the Torah. And in order for man to be able to understand the Torah, then it's necessary that man be at one with God's Ratzon, because the revelations of Atzilus are only expressions of God's will. Now, the fact is that this is going to have more consequences in the philosophy and the theology of the Leshen. In other words, in this sense, we see over here that there is an affinity. There is an affinity here between the Leshen, Reb Chaim Volozhin, and also between the Rambam too, in a certain sense. Remember, we've spoken about the Leshem and the Bird of Uchim before the Tzimtzum. The fact is that when the Rambam says that God's essence is his intellect, what he's really saying is that man intellectualizes like God. That's Selam Elokim. In other words, it's assigning an awesome intellectual power and prowess to man. The Leshem's statement here is merely a restating of the Rambam's Bayin Avuchim after the Tzimtzum. Except that after the Tzimtzum, I have to speak about God's Ratzon, his will. I can't speak about God's Chachma. Because if I speak about God's Chachma, then I have the other precarious danger, namely, that I'm going to understand Atzilus to be a mashal, a metaphor, which undermines the Kabbalah.
Well, also, the Lashon categorically deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evident anywhere other than the Torah.
And a Chanami. So in other words...
Unlike the Rambam.
Right. So in other words, and right, there can be no competition. So in other words, the fact is that this concept that man unites with God's will, this is already another edifice which the Leshem here has in fact constructed for us. And let's go back down to the bottom of this column. And I have here 11 lines from the bottom. V'lachein amarnu, ki ha-dovet b'yotsoyne hu-dovet boi mamish. Omnam. In other words, when a man is dovet b'yotsoyne, he's actually dovet in a kodesh baruch hu mamish. Amen dav zayin. Page 13, the end of the bottom of the, towards the bottom of the
Perichef.
First column. I'm sorry, Parakhes, right. On the Kavar Manu, Shagam Shakol HaTerah Kuli Inei Or Ritzoynei Mamish. The Torah is the light of Ritzoynei. V'Or Kedushosoi, Im Kol Zeh Inei Ein Gila Lano V'Or Kedushosoi Shabah Chedek Rak B'Yediyah V'Loi Ba'Asaga V'Yanamu Sogim Boi Ela Rak Aidei Asaga Seinu Bako. Bechinas Ratzon, Shu Ratzon, Velo Metzios. In other words, basically, once again, the Leshem is reminding us, it doesn't mean I understand. It's irreducible. But I'm at one with God's Ratzon. I'm doing the right thing by learning it. I'm doing God's Ratzon by learning it. But I shouldn't think that the Torah is a metaphor to something else. So we have over here, right? So in other words, what we've done is the following thing. The Leshem has basically shored up a problem. The problem was, after the Leshem has told us that I have no hasaga, no understanding of God's initial revelations, I have no hasaga in the tzilus of God's names. So the question is, if I have no hasaga, why learn it? The answer is no. When I learn it, I become one with God's Ratzon. I'm doing God's will. In other words, the intellectualization is basically a unity with God's will, and by doing that, I'm becoming one with God's will. So, in other words, we have here, let's summarize, the three edifices of the Leshem. Edifice number one is everything is a revelation. Either Shem or Shem is another revelation. God created it. He revealed it. This is not the Trinity. Edifice number two is that these revelations are not metaphors. They're irreducible. Not like people who would claim that everything in the Kabbalah is metaphor, and therefore, according to Leshem, they deny the truth of the Kabbalah. It's only a metaphor, a parable. It has no reality. But thirdly, right, while I have no intellectualization of it, in terms of understanding it, in terms of something else, understanding of it, nonetheless, when I learn it, and when I delve into it, I become one with God's Ratzon, one with God's will. And that's really these three columns, three edifices of the Leshem, which is established here in Perek Zayin and Perek Ches. Now, we're going to find a little bit more. I want to go to Perek Tes.
Rabbi, Jimmy,
yeah.
The Gili of Atzilus is something that is in Maver of our Hasoga.
You don't understand that, right? We only can understand the computer.
Or somehow, he said earlier, comes down into the lower worlds. This is the men through the Torah mitzvahs and Kedushas Yisrael. This is what we call the Shechina.
What's called the Shechina, B'Kamish Olam, is only in the Neshama Shneshama. There's illumination in the other worlds. Mm. But the Shechina for the Leshem is not in the physical world.
What I was asking is, right, so how the cognition of Torah in this world
is we get through the letters and through the words and through the lines of the Torah, the Chazal. In other words, basically the written Torah, the Torah revealed to us, the Torah Haksuva Masura Lano, that constitutes the revelation. When I learn Torah, when I learn Chumash, when I learn Gemara, right, that's the Torah that's revealed to me. When I learn
it can't be said to be any musug which is in the...
No, it can't be a musug that rests upon time and space. In other words, understanding the Torah means understanding the words of the Torah in terms of man's spatial, temporal, and whatever conceptual, whatever conceptual understandings he has. That means, in other words, that I can't do. I have to start out from the Torah and understand it only in terms of the letters and words of the Torah itself. Okay, that's what he's saying. Okay, now, so if we look in Perek Tes, I just want to turn once again to Perek Tes, and this will be the final thing over here. So he says that Omnam. Right, the kol masha adam mekayim va'isra so is bar shemay lamata. Everything that man does from God's ratzon lamata in the terrestrial world, you mekayim amamid v'sakan the bainis dukbasim b'shorsim v'aygal shelamayla lamayla. Man is partaking in the creation and in the construction of all the spiritual worlds. Who baina u'mesakan as dukbasim b'shorsim lamayla. This is also very Nefesh HaChayim dig. that what man is doing is that his acts of learning and mitzvahs, right, are affecting all of the spiritual worlds above him. And certainly when he learns Kabbalah, says the Chaim, says Lashem, he's speaking about the holy light itself, that above from the Slavshus and Bia, Harry Isaac broke his sasa, believe Slavshus Klav, Harry Godel Isaac being a zebe ain't Arab chayk. It's incredible what he's doing. In other words, says the Lashem, that not only would I learn Torah, am I rectifying and influencing and constructing the spiritual and metaphysical edifices which above the physical worlds, but certainly when I learn Kabbalah, I'm reaching out to the very periphery of the spiritual and metaphysical universe. And once again he says, Kamo Shabbat at the last line, Ki Aseichel V'Abaskel V'Muskel Echadu. In other words, basically what we're saying is an incredible thing. The lesson here is connecting these two concepts. If man, when he learns something, becomes one with the object that he learns, man fathoms something, the object that he fathoms becomes one with that. And the act of intellectualization also becomes united with him. Then, when he becomes one with something, and he understands it, becomes one with that thing, what he's doing is, he's creating it, he's constructing it. He's basically constructing the spiritual structure which he's revealing in that thing in practice. Yeah.
How does that spiritual thing connect to the physical world? Is the person, I mean, I don't know how, in Chassidus they would say that you're connected with the physical thing in the world because that is the ultimate.
So he would say that certainly there's ha'olas, like he spoke actually when we began today, we said that there are ha'olas, illuminations, that filter into the physical world. Now, why is this important?
Well, if I change the spiritual world, then I'm changing the physical world.
But not directly, but what it's like this, I'm not revealing the Ein Sof in the physical world. It's being done indirectly. In other words, what I'm doing is I'm changing the spiritual worlds and there's an effect on the physical world. But in other words, my effect, in other words, I'm directly affecting the spiritual worlds, and then there's a overflow into the physical worlds. But I'm not, in other words, I become one with God's Rotzim, and God Rotzim is only in Atzilus. So I'm not directly affecting the physical worlds. But when I come with God's Rotzim, which is an Elokus, as a result of that, as like Leshem Rashi explained that in the first year, what happens in the physical world has the imprint of the spiritual world. So now,
Does he address the problem like the Nefesh HaChaim that implies that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon changes?
What do you mean?
Because if man acts and then that connects with that Olam and it changes it, and that changes the physical world, then it means also de facto that it changes the Olam Atzilus, which is one with Ratzon HaChaim.
So actually, I think really what the Leshem is doing over here, and actually we should speak about this maybe it's in next year. The Leshem understands that this is actually the tachlis of man. In other words, the purpose of man is actually to bring the world to its rectification. In other words, for example, the Leshem speaks about the Sefer Klalim, because the Rambam says that, in Klal Tezvav, Tezayin, there the Rambam says that the world has no tachlis, the world was not created for anything.
The
Leshem is based in Sefer Klalim.
The Leshem says.
Oh, right. The Rambam says this in chapter 13 of the third Chedek of the Mar Nevochem. So of course the Avodas Halev Ibn Gabai jumps on Hakichas Rosham and can say something like that. Leshem says no, he's right. So the Leshem says no, he's right. Well, because everything in the world is connected. Everything in the world is connected. Now the fact is that we have all these Chazals that say the purpose, the purpose of the Bria is man, etc., etc. Says the Leshem, an incredible Yishuv. Man unites the entire Bria. Really, in fact, the entire Bria is interconnected and interrelated. Like that's what the Rambam says, and I think in Perek Nun Beis in the Mar Nevochim, that of Avir Kol Tuvi. No, the Rambam says in Chelek Aleph, Avir Kol Tuvi, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu connected this of all the worlds, and from that, right, Moshe Rabbeinu ascertains God's ethic, his Ratzai, his ethics. The Leshem is saying this after the Tzimtzum. In other words, the purpose of man is to unite all the worlds. And by uniting all the worlds, then he reveals, or he, in other words, is revealed to him the unity of all of creation. And then I guess he becomes privy to this, the rotzen of the entire Bria. In other words, man is the tool by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or man acts as a powerful tool in revealing the ultimate rotzen of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu by uniting all the worlds. So you can say that, in other words, and that's the purpose of creation. In other words, God created an entire world which would be united through man's study of the Torah and man's performance of mitzvahs. So, in other words, so because of this, man has to have awesome cosmic powers. Which cosmic powers are these? These, in fact, are man's ability to fathom and understand and comprehend the Torah. Now, would you say God's will changes? His will doesn't change. What happens is that somehow, when man learns the Torah, he interconnects things. He reveals more levels of God. He becomes one with God's will. In other words, God could have brought the world, obviously, he could have created the world perfect. But he created it in a way that man, in metadio dei, would take over God's will and, in fact, what? And unite all the worlds. But by doing so, man has to constructively and creatively, right, unite, right, all acts of the creation. And that's the ultimate expression of God's will. In other words, that's the purpose of all of creation. So in other words, if man is to perfect creation, man has to be given divine powers. How is man given divine powers? Man, of course, is at one with God's will. God only wills that the world should come to its completion. When man learns to totally unite with God's will, then man is able to bring about the ultimate goal of God's will, which is the union of all of creation. And that's actually the fourth edifice here we have in the Leshem. The empowerment of man in bringing about the divine purpose of creation through learning Torah and through accomplishing the mitzvahs. So we have here, and also too, like I said before, this is very Litvish, this is the Nefesh HaChayim Shar Aleph. The Nefesh HaChayim in Shar Aleph redefines Selem Elokim as being man's ability to cosmically affect the world through divine powers. That's why in the yeshiva they tell you to become a gadol and not a poshut yid.
Is there also the Ramchal and Das Tavunas?
What?
Is there also the basic message of the Ramchal and Das Tavunas?
In the Ramchal and Das Tavunas, I don't see any empowerment of man.
But it's
man. There's a movie and a man is a movie and a spectator. In fact, the Ramchal and Das Tavunas maybe mentions Bechir like once or twice.
But it's through man's actions that the whole of the world is perfected.
I don't think so. In the Ramchal, I think that there's two processes going on. I think Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals the Yichud to man. In other words, the Ramchal is a process. Man is like a spectator in a movie. That's my impression, Das Tavunas. He's a spectator in a movie. Well, that's the one that's really the Yosefa. Okay, in any case, Baruch Hashem, in this year we've constructed two new edifices of the Lesha. We have four edifices, the Merkava, and we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're going to begin Baruch Hashem, and next year we're going to be in Shah Beis, and then we're going to go much, much deeper into the concepts and see the very deep understanding and ontology which give expression to these four edifices. But until then,
10-second review to prepare for next week.
To prepare for next week, what I'd like to do is
What do we have to learn from this last 3 shiur?
For the last shiur, I want people to review over the four edifices. In other words, the four edifices, the Maisa Merkava, the Merkava of the Leshem, to get that ingrained. This is four edifices that the Leshem, right, is not going to change. These are the in other words, things which are things which don't change, invariances,
which are
number one, that everything is a revelation. There's no thing which we perceive which is not a revelation. The number two, that the revelation is irreducible. It's not a metaphor for something else. Number three, that when man understands these revelations, he unites with God's will. And then number four, that through uniting with God's will, man is the one who brings about the purpose of creation. Man, in fact, takes over from God. and bring about the purpose of creation. Okay? These are the four edifices from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Next week, Sha'ar Beis. Until then, be well.